Welcome once again into the Soccer OG. Hey, that's me, Max Pretos. Episode 192. As always, a reminder to rate, review, download, subscribe, tell a friend of our podcast heard globally. I know maybe some eyes being rolled from our global audience because we're talking a lot of CONCACAF Nations League, but we're going to talk about all of it. We're going to talk about all six games that are going to happen starting Thursday through Sunday to determine two more spots in the Copa America to determine who lifts the Nations League. This tournament's come a long way. Very excited about it. And I'll tell you as a USA fan why you should be really excited about what's happening with this team. A reminder to check us out on YouTube under my name, Max Pretos. There's a new video out there about this USA preview and much, much more that you can check out. Full library of videos there. Full library of here of the Soccer OG. We stand by about getting the biggest and best guests all over the planet to talk about the beautiful game, and it's all there for you to listen and watch at your leisure. We are going to get into all of it. It's been a busy few days. We won't have a business end. We're going to get right into a roll-up-the-sleeves preview, talk about the USA, talk about Mexico. I'll let you know who this week is the biggest four. It might surprise you. A little bit of the European games going on to qualify for the Euros. We're firming up the summer. We're going to have the field for the Euros. We're going to have the field for the Copa America set. You can bust out your brackets. Not March Madness, Summer Madness. Shout out to Cool and the Gang. The Soccer OG. A special abbreviated Soccer OG. Action-packed, fast-paced Soccer OG starts right now. We are back, and we'll get into the international break. Did want to mention something about the FA Cup, and I'm sure you've heard about it all the time. You know, look, I am the Soccer OG. I've earned that title. I have broadcast 15,000 games. I think it's even more than that. I mean, there was a time when I was at Fox Soccer, I'd broadcast five games a day. Five games Saturday, five games Sunday, and during the week, an additional six or seven during the week. Sometimes you'd have a tournament and it'd be an additional 15, 20. Just, I've watched a lot. And the game between Manchester United and Liverpool at the FA Cup, you know, I've watched, and not only have I watched it a lot, I've watched it from every competition all over the planet, sometimes for work, sometimes for pleasure. But that game on its own merits was one of the best games I have ever watched. In some cases, because of the deficiency defensively, because it was so wide open, I'm sure the coaches were going cuckoo because it was coming too easy at times, certainly for Manchester United, who scored four goals and could have scored seven goals. And Jurgen Klopp, we saw him. And by the way, Jurgen Klopp, Liverpool doesn't get to win the four trophies. I would have loved to have seen it. And the historical significance of this matchup, too, is what made this even more special. But Jurgen Klopp gets a little abusive under there, and I get a little tired of it. And, you know, he's going to be missed here, but I'm not going to miss that part of it. I think he can be a little bit of a bully. And I understand it, and these coaches, they're all going to kind of be short. Sometimes I'm like, at the end of that game, when he addressed the media, it was really, I thought it was in poor taste. I just want to say that because for the next few weeks, we are going to just worship Jurgen Klopp, and rightfully so, because he's changed the game, and he's a beautiful soul. I just wish that part was a little different, but I don't want to hark on it too much. But that game, on its own merits, was one of the best games I've seen it. When you add the fact that it was Manchester United and Liverpool, and the fact that Manchester United denied Liverpool this, I mean, look, the pursuit for four trophies was getting, I mean, it was getting closer every week. They have won. They would have, if they make the semifinals here, they're going to play Coventry based on the draw. They have a real good shot of winning the FA Cup. They're two wins away. The Europa League, they have a really good shot. They're in the quarterfinals. And they're in first place in the Premier League. Looking good. That's a three-way coin flip at this point. But that was a fantastic matchup. You could not believe the twists and turns. So I just wanted to let people know the impact it made on me. No, I love the English game. I'm not this Zentropic type where you're going, you know, I speak in English cliches, and I'm very critical of the overwhelming English aspects that filter into our game, but that is undeniable, and I appreciate it, and it was wonderful. let's get into the situation. So first of all, we're going to fill out the European brackets with the European tournament this summer. There's a few loose ends, and they have a playoff format for the last, what, four spots, and that should be an interesting turn of events. They're one-off games. I don't have a prediction for you. I have a lot of Finns that I work at LAFC, so I'm pulling for Finland. They have Wales. Hopefully they can do that, but we shall see. So the bigger picture is the Nations League. I wanted to talk, obviously, about that and where the U.S. stand. And I'm not gonna be too cute, so we're gonna start with the United States. So the semifinals are USA Jamaica Thursday in Jerry's World there in North Texas. All the games will be in North Texas, so it is pretty cool because you have the games in Jerry's World, and then you have the games at Frisco at Toyota Stadium. So USA Jamaica is the first game. Panama Mexico is the later game. Saturday they have Canada TNT and Costa Rica Honduras one-off games to qualify for the Copa America. So that's huge. You don't want to miss the Copa America. I'm assuming we'll have another combined Copa America sooner than later, but you don't want to miss it. It happened once. So for Canada, Trinidad and Tobago, and Costa Rica, Honduras, this one-off game on a neutral site is massive. Trinidad and Tobago wasn't supposed to be here. So if they make Copa America, they are, this was unexpected. Costa Rica and Honduras, I think Costa Rica and Honduras are not in a place where they could just say, we should be there. It would be a reward for navigating through this Nations League quagmire. And, you know, Costa Rica a little bit on the decline after making that World Cup. Honduras starting to reemerge with some good talent. But really it falls down to Canada. And before we talk about the Nations League semifinals, I want to talk about Canada, who hit all their marks. They made the Nations League final last year, were the number one seed, lost to the United States. They made the World Cup for the first time since 1986. They have all this great talent in their prime and coming into their prime. For Canada to miss this Copa America would be cataclysmic. And it certainly would be that for Canada, but it wouldn't be good for everyone in CONCACAF. If we want another Copa America, you've got to put the best, most compelling teams in it from our perspective. The most compelling players. And that is Canada. Because if we want CONMEBOL to do this Copa America and say, this was amazing, we'd be crazy not to do it again. The best prospect to do that would be to have Canada in it because of Alphonso Davies and Jonathan David, all the players that they have, because they were just in the World Cup, because they're going to be part of a team hosting the World Cup in 2026. They've already qualified for the World Cup. All those factors mean that the best ingredient for a lock stock excellent Copa America is for Canada to be in there. We want to impress CONMEBOL, and we want to, so it's not just USA Mexico, but we have Canada. Even though Canada slipped a bit, I'm kind of pulling for them. All due respect, TNT, you've done remarkably. And Canada should beat TNT. Canada should have beaten Jamaica. They should be already qualified. But nothing's promised to them. So that's going to be nerve-wracking. But I think for all parties, for the possibility of having future combined Copa Americas, let's get Canada in there. USA Jamaica is the first game on Thursday, 7 o'clock Eastern time. And I'm not going to get into too detailed of a preview. I think we've talked about it a lot. We've had some concerns. Several American players not playing regularly for their clubs. You know, that list up at the top is Gio Reyna and Matt Turner, Tim Ream. There are others. And the other, well, let's look at that first, because we'll get to the positive stuff, because there's some two huge positive factors here that begins with this Nations League that I think we have to tell ourselves over and over again to give us that confidence and that euphoria that should come with where we are right now in the U.S. men's national team. So the big issue of players not playing a lot, and or not at all, And I have stood by Gio Reyna on my videos here on the OG podcast. I have said Gio Reyna should be in the starting 11. Lock it in, regardless of what goes on with Nottingham Forest. And we saw that in October or the end of last year when he wasn't playing for Dortmund and he came to the US team and he was excellent on the field. But things have changed because this Nottingham Forest situation could have not gone worse. He was at least playing for Dortmund time to time. He is an afterthought at Nottingham Forest. He is not being considered to, let alone start, to play 10 minutes. This has gone horribly wrong. There's no way he's going to be ready to play in a high-stakes game. If he played a little bit, because if he's not playing, it means the training isn't going well. Now, if Greg Berhalter puts him in the starting 11, I will be pleased, because that means he is trained well for the U.S., and that for some reason, this kid can overcome all of that, which would be more good news. But I think the fact that Tyler Adams has been brought in means that Greg Berhalter wants to apply Plan B sooner than later. That's to get Adams back in that midfield with Weston McKennie and Yunus Musa. And we hope the best for Gio Reyna. And I wanted him to be in there until a week ago when I just said, this can't be. I'm not putting him in my starting 11. I'm not. You have a nice candidate in Malik Tillman who has played at a very high clip. So you have a logical replacement because it's, I just can't. And I know there are others like Tim Weah and Tim Ream who are all playing more than Gio. And Matt Turner isn't, but it's a little different for a goalkeeper. I think we can agree with that. But Gio, and the thing with Gio, if he doesn't start, does he play? It's a big one. Because substitution and the patterns are really valuable. They're precious. So, I mean, some people say play him an hour. You can't go into the game like that. You can't say he's going to play this and then we'll switch it up. You've got to be confident that he can play the full game. Because I don't think Gio Reyna would have been a candidate to be pulled out in an hour under normal circumstances. So that's changed. Gio Reyna not in the starting 11 for me. If he's in there, it's good news because he has proven that he can train well in camp and get the job done. Okay, let's move on. Because it's not, I don't want people to be upset or disappointed because the good news is coming and it's exceptional news. So the big story that we were coming in, the guys weren't playing enough. And the other one was who's going to play the number 9, which has turned out to be a really good story because there are guys that can't get on this team. Like Jordan Pefok and Brandon Vasquez, they're playing at an electric pace. They can't get on this squad. We mentioned when we had Brian Shireta, we didn't think Josh Sargent was going to get in there. We thought he was carrying a knock, and we knew Norwich didn't want him to go because they want him to focus on promotion. Josh Sargent obviously wants to focus on getting on the national team, so it's going to have to wait for him. And hopefully that moment comes this summer. He gets out and Haji Wright takes that spot. And Haji Wright has been phenomenal. And that leads me to the first big umbrella topic for the U.S. team ahead of these nation leagues. I've covered the U.S. team for a long time. You know, ahead of World Cups in 98, 2002, all of them. And great players coming and going. But we have never seen what we're seeing right now. Never. We have never seen a standard of American player like what we have seen in the last 6-8 weeks. Christian Pulisic is scoring every week. Literally scoring every week. He has found the sweet spot. He is healthy, he's strong, and he is just phenomenal. Weston McKennie, the same thing. One of the best midfielders in the Serie A. We have those two foundation stones. We've never, individually, I don't think we've had a player come into a national team camp playing at this level, this lights out level for club. And not only have one, we have two. Anthony Robinson, you could put in there as well. One of the best fullbacks in the English Premier League. And that's not just me saying it. Look at the clubs that are interested in bringing him in. He's been spectacular. Three players playing at a high, high level. And look, we had the Tyler Adams injury, but the injuries, and obviously Josh Sargent, I was anticipating a lot of injuries. Luca Della Torre has a small one. And we're pretty clean. Gio is healthy, not playing. Pulisic and McKennie and all the others are healthy. What about the PSV guys? Well, that's gone really, really well. Much better than anyone could have anticipated. Remember where Sergiño Dest was. He has been a lock starter for PSV. This is a team that made the knockouts of the Champions League. Malik Tillman's a lockdown starter. Ricardo Pepi, while not starting, has emerged more into that role. Scored a game-winning goal over the weekend. So those three players I mentioned and the three guys on PSV, Chris Richards making a breakthrough that we haven't seen for a center back in the Premier League. Sergiño Dest, again, if he was here, he's not going to play, but we include him there with that conversation. The guys on the periphery, Johnny Cardoso and Luca Della Torre, excelling at the European at their European clubs. The situation I mentioned with the number nines. This is unprecedented, and it's not even debatable. There has never been a standard like this for the U.S., ever. So that should give us confidence to not only come in and beat Jamaica, but thump them, despite what Hal Grimson, the Icelandic coach for Jamaica, has said. And look, we talk about Greg Berhalter, and if this gets sketchy, then we really have to focus. And you know me, I'm not the one who's going to mount all this on Greg Berhalter. I've approved of what he has done all the way up to here. But this is the time, and he's not going to lose his job if we don't win the Nations League. But it's not going to go well, because anyone who watches this team is going to go, look at this player base. Despite some of these guys not playing, look at what you have. This is too good of a team. You know, you look around the planet, there's not many clubs that can say what the U.S. has. It's pretty amazing. So, you know, I think the U.S. beats Jamaica 3-1. And this is not a verdict against Jamaica. Jamaica's good. They don't have their best player in Leon Bailey. This is a testament to what the U.S. have. So, that's the first big topic for the U.S. The number two is this is the first tournament in three where it's going to be played at home. And we know the U.S. are very good at home historically. And we know when you host a tournament, as we saw in AFCON and the Asian Cup and so many tournaments in the past, it's been hot and cold in the World Cup, by the way. I mean, but we haven't had nations like Qatar or South Africa that were going to win a World Cup. They didn't have what the U.S. has. But you look at the teams that were supposed to do well that hosted it. France, certainly. Korea made the semis in 02. Japan, not as great, but had some good moments. What was it? Germany, was it in 06? Didn't make it, made the semis, but that was just a crazy Final Four. So the U.S. will kept at a high standard. And they're hosting this. And they're going to host the Copa America. And they're going to host the World Cup. And playing at home is a huge advantage. So that, coupled with what I just told you about the players, means this should be really good for the U.S. Should win the Nations League, should make a semifinal at least in the Copa America, should make a quarterfinal at least in an expanded World Cup, hopefully better. But that is, it's all good for now, and hopefully that continues. And it's all good heading to the Nations League, but there's not too many concerns. Jamaica, as we said, Andre Blank, Mikel Antonio, Damari Gray, good team, deserve to be here, and they're going to be in the Copa America. Did want to talk a little bit about Mexico-Panama, because Mexico have had a great year, if you look at the last 12 months. They won the Gold Cup, I mean, they made the change after, you know, horrific coaching situation. They made the change, Jimmy Lozano's come in and has changed that. And they're getting results, and they won a trophy. And while it's not a long, long list like the United States, they're getting better contributions from their players playing overseas. Edson Alvarez, everyday starter at West Ham. You know, Memo Ochoa is a guy who took a risk and doing well. Santi Jimenez, scoring at an amazing clip at Feyenoord. Luis Chavez took a risk to go to Russian football, playing very, very well. The reality with Mexico, there's too much money in Liga MX, so a lot of the national team is going to play there. I'm not so bothered by it this time around, because you have two clubs, America and Monterrey, who feel are on the level of many top European teams, the way they spend, the way they are constructed. I think Monterrey has 7 players on this El Tri squad for the Nations League. I mean, I think you could almost have a whole back 4 from Monterrey. Club America, with Santi Jimenez, Henry Martin has been phenomenal. He might push to score goals. There was no Raul Jimenez on this team. But I like what they have in attack. I like what they have in the engine room. They have a set-piece specialist in Chavez. No Antuna as well. Julian Quiñones, naturalized Colombian. He's become another player. Plays at Club America. Really, really good. The one thing I want to see from Mexico is the change at goalkeeper. Memo Ochoa is going to start Nations League, but they have to start making that transition. They got a good one in Luis Malagón, the Club America goalkeeper. And he is going, it looks like he is the next in line. And I think that has to happen by the Copa. But I like this Mexico team. I think they lucked out with Jimmy Lozano and he's done well. They're going to play a Panama team that I like a lot too. Mexico and Panama played 4 times recently, World Cup qualifiers, where Panama tied theirs. Mexico won theirs 1-0. They played in the Gold Cup final. Mexico won 1-0. That was really, really tightly contested. Thomas Christensen's put together a Panama team where there's good young talent coming through. I mean, a lot of guys playing at their prime. You know, you meet Coco Carrasquilla and Edgar Barcenas, 2 elite players. Ismael Diaz, Jose Fajardo, good options in attack. Panama is going to compete. By the way, remember, USA has Panama in their Copa America group, so that's something to keep an eye on. As CONCACAF looks good, man. I mean, that Final Four is solid, and you have Canada and Costa Rica and Honduras. One of those will make it, and I think those are teams that you have to be leery of. And this Copa America is going to help them. But nothing is as promising as what the U.S. have and the level these guys are playing. So get excited. And hopefully I haven't jinxed them. I have a nice oak table here, knock on wood, for the U.S. Moving forward. And enjoy these games. I think they're on Paramount. All of them, all games, including the Copa qualifiers. I didn't even mention Yunus Musa, who is starting to play a lot more. I did touch on Tyler Adams because I think he's coming back at the right time, and he is going to be someone that features there. I'm a little worried about the defending. With how much more can we rely on Tim Ream? He's going to start with Chris Richards, but that's one to keep an eye on. It's not perfect, but it's pretty close. It is pretty close. And we'll be back to recap the Nations League. Go to my YouTube, Max Pretos. We'll have all of the reaction and a preview for what I believe will be USA-Mexico. I have USA beating Jamaica 3-1. I have Mexico beating Panama 1-0. And the final, we'll worry about that. Mexico's going to have a packed Jerry's World in their favor for both the semi and the final. So that's very, very good for the occasion, right? We're looking forward to that. This is the Soccer OG. We'll be back soon. Back into our normal format with the business end and check complete. Got some great guests coming on the horizon. You know, we're busy booking. Hopefully we have some good news with the Copa America ahead. We'll stay in touch with you on all of that. Rate, review, download, subscribe, and tell a friend. Enjoy the Nations League. Until we meet again, Plácido Domingo!